Okay, grandkids, we decided to wait until the end of... I almost called him Aleister Black.
Yes, Malachi Black.
Malachi Black against Cody Rhodes. And... The ending is kind of interesting. I agree with Arn Anderson that Cody barely bumped him. I'm not sure why Cody should be that concerned about barely budging Arn Anderson.
Dude, Arn slipped off the
slipped
off the ring and legitimately fell. So Cody barely bumping into him actually seems very, very accurate. So.
Yeah, he probably wasn't trying to add any insult to injury there.
I still don't understand the entire Arn Anderson, Cody Rhodes thing anyways. I really don't.
Oh.
Like, if there's still one criticism of AEW, is there's too many, I've heard or read somebody say, there's too many hanger-ons. And that's what Arn just seems like.
Oh. Yeah, you know, like...
Sting and Darby is another good one. Tully kind of does add a little bit to FTR, but he's not needed.
Yeah, that's my biggest problem with him. Like, they do give Tully promo time to truly act as their manager, but he's superfluous. Like, they don't need him.
Most of the seconds, you know, the people who second their people, aren't necessary anyways. I mean, who's with, not Death Triangle anymore. Yeah, the Penta and Ray. Alex, oh god, what's his last name? No, not Alex, that's Alex Marvez. Oh no.
Oh, Aberhantes?
Yes. He's not needed.
He has almost turned into comical. Like, he's so over the top trying to be tough guy looking, it cracks me up. I will at least admit that much.
Bad guys? Like, you know, you got the pipsqueak with the bad guys, more so like they're clearly faces.
Oh, well, yeah, that's been kind of their problem. They try to position them as heels, and it just really hasn't taken at all.
Well, just like what we just saw with Malachi Black and Cody Rhodes. Try to position Malachi as a bad guy, which he's doing every bad guy thing you can. Yeah, that's not working. I mean, it is a New York crowd, a legit New York crowd, and they were having none of it. Cody Rhodes dressing like bad guy's Homelander from The Boys. I mean, when Cody does realize that he's not a good guy, but
that's the only thing that I think I might be okay with what just happened is that I think he might be finally turning the page. Like, I think he was authentically trying to be a babyface for a while there and failing miserably. I think he's going to start leaning into the booing here, and I feel like this is it should be the start of it.
Well, I just saw an interview with Cody though where he said, "I'd rather retire than become a bad guy, like than not be a face, unless that's more just talk." To get to the point of him turning heel, because wasn't Cody always pretty smug? Like, as soon as he left he left WWE.
Yeah.
But as soon as he left WWE, I mean, even when he was in Impact for a little bit, kind of smug. When he was in Ring of Honor, he was part of the Elite. He was always like the smug one in the Elite, constantly feuding with Kenny Omega. And then all of a sudden, they put that to the side, now they're not, and it's like, okay, I guess we cheered for Cody when they founded AEW. But ever since, I mean, even when Brody Lee, ruined him.
Oh. No, yeah, that Because I do think at the beginning of AEW, he was a true babyface and people were cheering for him. But I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, things took a turn. When he came back and won the title off of Brody. But wasn't that... Was that when Brody was sick? Is that why he...
Match. It was a dog collar match. Yeah, so that was his last match, was the dog collar one.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah. So yeah, I guess that's kind of one of those things that at the time it seemed like a weird thing to have Cody win back, but I guess now looking at it, they either have him drop it to Cody or they have him drop it to someone else. Like, he's losing that match, essentially.
Yeah. And that's why I was pleasantly surprised with how Malakai Black won. He cheated to win, but, you know.
I guess that's why I kind of was chuckling and am a little flummoxed. I guess Malakai Black didn't need to use the mist there at the end. Like, he kind of had the drop on Cody anyway. Like, he just could have cracked him.
Yeah, yes.
So it's just like, it is almost like doing something heelish just to do something heelish, even though you know you're getting cheered. You know, like, it's kind of this really weird situation to me. Like, if he just punches him or, you know, gives him a kick or something, everyone in the crowd goes bananas. But instead, he, you know, really did a heelish thing and used the green mist behind the referee's back.
Well, it was Black Mist.
Black Mist.
Difference, I guess. Did you see the sign in the crowd yet for Darby and Sting?
Oh.
They clearly thought it was a real sign and it wasn't. It said coffin flop on Corn Cob TV. It doesn't even, I don't think that makes any sense, but it's just, I always like when they put a sign on and they just gotten it wrong.
That's kind of interesting. Like, I don't know what is going on with that. Like, I don't know why why do you bring that sign? And like, how...
Yes.
Like, is it just an inside joke for someone?
I guess so, but the sign sucks. So
well, okay. I guess that's what I mean. Like, if it was well done or extra, like if there was some inherent funniness in it, it would really help out. But there really isn't.
Well, it made me laugh. Only because it got by, like, the director or whatever. So, that kind of stuff always makes me laugh. So.
Oh, man.
We can't talk too much about AEW, I guess, because you didn't see the first match, and I want you to watch it before I say anything.
Oh.
Did you see Pillman and MJF?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. It wasn't terrible, but Pillman looks good sometimes, and other times he doesn't. He doesn't have, like, a natural grace to him.
Oh.
So when he was running the ropes in one spot, I'm like, it seems like he's running a drill right now instead of wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does not seem as smooth, you know. I think that's one of those ones that there is definitely a smoothness missing to his wrestling.
Yeah.
And he's also only been wrestling like 4 years.
Oh, I thought it was only two.
Oh.
Even four is not a long time either.
Maybe it is only two, but I mean, you know, Though I wonder a lot why there aren't some younger superstars. You know, I mean, we've harped on how many old superstars there are in the WWE. Like, it's not like AEW is exactly packed with super young guys that really know how to do it. You know?
No shit. I
And
watch NXT. I know. So.
oh,
Oh, we're getting to that, man. Don't worry about that. Okay, so he started in, 4 years. He started in 17.
okay.
He trained at Lance Storm. First match was December 18th, 2017. So.
I guess my point was going to be that I do still think that there's got to be some level of a developmental curve.
Yeah, he's 28, so,
Oh, okay, he isn't that young then.
No, I honestly, he's got a very nice baby face on him. He does not look 28 years old. I guess he
Yeah.
got into it a little bit late, but I mean, I'm not bagging on the guy, but it was like just certain points, it just looked like he was going through drills instead of wrestling again. So,
Oh,
and
yeah. Yeah, he definitely, I think, yeah, most everyone thinks he needs polish, except for everyone in AEW, evidently, who have definitely put a spotlight on him. Like, I guess I don't think he's as, just to compare him to, what's his name? Jungle Boy. You know, like you can tell that Jungle Boy's A, been wrestling for a while, and B, like just how smooth and how much of an athlete he seems to be. Like he doesn't ever seem like he's running a drill when he's running the ropes.
No, not at all. So, but it also depends on. I mean, he got trained by Lance Storm,
Yeah.
and then he unfortunately was like. He was in the ring in a group with Teddy Hart, and that's really, I mean, and Davey Boy Smith Jr. But it's like, still hang out with Teddy Hart, not exactly the greatest example, first off. And then, he could do a lot of cool stuff, but I can't honestly say I've seen a lot of matches where I was like, wow, Teddy Hart knows the way around the ring, other than like, his high flying. So. Or maybe I just haven't seen the right Teddy Hart matches, but
It's not exactly like Teddy Hart's made a killing on the indies recently or anything like that
I don't
either.
think he wrestles anymore, right? Because he got in all those weird
Yeah, I think he's kind of
allegations.
been out for a while. Yeah, he's definitely been around some shenanigans. I can't remember
It's.
all of the shenanigans, honestly.
It's yeah, and it's fine. We've had enough shenanigans this week that happened years ago that everyone just ignored, and now all of a sudden it's a problem. So that Ric Flair stuff is driving me crazy. So we've all heard about Ric Flair's history, right?
Yep.
ESPN did a whole documentary about it. He wrote a book. There's been other books written about Ric Flair's antics. Dark Side of the Ring comes out. Now all of a sudden has a problem. Everyone has a problem. They can't do business with him. Are you out of your fucking mind? That's the biggest. That's such, it's. I don't know if it's hypocritical, a double standard, or just plain bullshit.
Ric Flair falls under the I don't give a shit at this point category for me.
Oh, no.
Like
Yeah.
if he needs to have a job at 78 or whatever that is because he doesn't have money for himself, fuck that guy. You
I
know,
agree with
like
you.
if you've blown that much money, fuck you, man. Like, and if that mistake that you made is finally catching up to you, also, don't really feel too bad for him.
Here's all right. Here's the thing, though.
It's Did
not
he?
Like it wasn't. It was not like it wasn't known. I guess this is my problem: is that where the hell was everyone having a problem with him 10 years ago?
Well, I didn't. Or it didn't. Or everyone have a. Ago. Well, I think people tend to. I guess that's kind of the weird thing is that I feel like there was a period where he kind of got a cool off period after that, if memory serves. But then they brought him back because, you know, you bring everyone back. And I guess maybe that's the weird part is that yeah, I mean, you're really relitigating something that's already been acknowledged.
Yeah. So it's like WWE all of a sudden like took all his merchandise down. Now they could say, well, it's because he's no longer employed. Well, they take all the Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman shit down. So that's bullshit. He, like, it's also kind of embarrassing. Like, what was those? Is it Car Guru? No.
Oh, Car Shield.
Car Shield. Those are just embarrassing, and LA Knight's got to be very happy they're taking those down.
Yeah, I mean, that's another one that just really does not help my... Oh my god, this guy desperately needs money.
And that's what I don't know if... I obviously, I would hope he's in a better position with that now. But does he actually need the money, or does he just want to do, like... You know, someone, he just wants to stay in the limelight.
Well,
oh my God,
and that's bad too. Just and I guess honestly, Sting isn't any better.
No, but what are you at the end of this match yet?
He just punched Tully.
Just keep going. Darby Allin commits murder here in a second. And no, Sting needs to be out of the ring. Enough.
Yeah,
like after the Triple H match at WrestleMania, but
well, if he just would have beaten Triple H, it would have been okay.
Yes, it would have. You're absolutely right. But
that completely. Oh my god.
Yes, that's called. He just killed that man. And that's
I mean, Sting can't even come close to sitting down on that Scorpion Deathlock anymore.
He kind of gave up on sitting back on that a long time ago, though.
Well, it's still bad.
Yeah. But, you know, but no, it's just, I can't stand the selective memory of stuff. To where, like... I remember when the ESPN documentary about Ric Flair came out, and everyone was talking about it then. And then it gets pushed to the side. Did that come out before or after he had all of his, like, recently legit health problems, where he almost died? I can't remember. Maybe people gave him a pass, you know?
Yeah, it might have been right around the same time. Yeah, they had to replay the murder a couple of times.
As they should. Darby Allin's awesome. There's no way around it. He throws his body around, maybe much to the chagrin of his opponents, but nothing looks fake with him.
Oh. Nope.
And that's why I said he has committed murder. Like, God damn, dude.
Yeah, like, he's super athletic, and like you said, like, he just, I love his, suicide dives because, like, he turns him kind of into a little bit of a barrel roll through kind of situation. And whew, doggies, like, he is always coming with some serious speed. Like, some of the people you're like, oh, I can see you slowing up or something at the end to not make it so bad. He is sprinting every foot that he can. Before he lifts off.
And when he hits somebody, I mean, you're like, oh, that connected, you know?
Yeah.
Where the one I can't stand is the Tope Suicida, where they jump over the rope and then push somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Which always looks terrible. Always looks terrible.
Yeah, because, yeah, a lot of them kind of almost give them like a forearm shove out. And yeah, that is not the best looking one.
Yeah, no, I can't stand them. It's like that. I think that's why I appreciate Darby so much. It's just how much he throws it, and it never looks fake. So,
Yeah.
oh my God, they're showing a commercial for Cody Rhodes. I forgot he actually had a bus called the Nightmare Express. How is he a good guy? Why the hell would you cheer for someone that does that? He's got it. He has to know. He's got to know. So.
Well, I mean, he committed to being a baby face for a long time. That whole which the feud with QT Marshall was just the
It's
most
ridiculous.
tone deaf thing. Not
Yeah.
that people were wanting to cheer QT, but I mean, he had definitely lost the crowd at that point, so they didn't want to cheer for him or for QT, and it got kind of awkward.
I don't think anyone wants to boo QT Marshall either. It's just like, go away. Enough.
Oh. We've seen enough of you, sir. Good day.
Yeah, for as many positives that far outweigh the negatives, that's still a negative. Like, that stuff, and I actually watched it today, I started watching it today, that they had the AEW Dark from Universal Studios now. So, that's where you see a lot of these guys. And that's smart. Smaller crowd. I don't know if it's like a paid crowd or not, but it's a smaller crowd. They've got like the bigger guys working with younger guys, and it worked. It's funny because they make it's basically just a miniature Dynamite set. So it's very weird. Just like NXT is kind of a mini Raw or SmackDown set, that's kind of on par, but AEW actually has it to scale. So it looks correct, unlike the NXT stage, which is very weird. So, and I didn't get a chance to talk about NXT 2.0.
No, you have not. Like that, yeah, the set doesn't do anything for me. Like it's not terrible, but it also, it doesn't seem like something new. Like just seems okay. Like they have what, like six rows of people or something? Like I'm fine with
It's
this.
got a pretty decent sized crowd there.
The crowd size is fair enough. I don't know. I guess I'm always hoping for some better design in there, but they just kind of go with the basics and roll with it.
Last week I was gone because I was sick somehow. And it was not COVID. I went and got tested again. It wasn't that. But it was actually worse. That's why I thought I had that. That's why I honestly thought I held that. I had that. Got that Delta variant somehow. Dude, we went out Saturday. Saw Big J Okerson. We were out till like 1, 2 in the morning, like per the usual. We go to comedy club. Come home, totally fine. Wake up 9 in the morning Sunday. Like, ugh, I am super hungover. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going back to bed, which I didn't even drink that much. Like, I didn't drink nearly. Quantity to feeling did not match. So I woke up at 2 o'clock feeling worse. I started watching the Panthers game, fell asleep, woke up for Kansas City and the Browns, and went, Jesus Christ, Kansas City, pull this out. Woke up at 7 o'clock, went back to bed. I woke up 8 o'clock Monday morning, said I wasn't gonna be into work. Fell back asleep till 5. And in the meantime, I had made an appointment to go get tested. And it was just the worst. I mean, chills, fever, just everything, headaches, everything that was COVID related. But no, I tested negative. Made no sense. So yeah, I was trying to watch Raw, and I actually told Elise, I was like, I don't care. You can watch anything else you want. You're making me feel worse by keeping this on. So
But that would have been last week's Raw, correct?
Yeah. I didn't even watch this week.
Yeah, this week's was okay.
Here's the problem, and this is the problem I have with WWE, and it's a dead horse. So, just whatever. But you'll see the difference. You can see the difference watching this AEW show. This crowd is legit into these wrestlers. I mean, there is an electricity, energy, whatever you want to call it. It is real. WWE fans are not into the product the way AEW fans are. And it hurts. Because then they feel the need to keep doing the audio sweetener, which I've always despised. Even as a kid, I despised it. Because you can see people sitting there. And they're like, this crowd's going insane. Like, no one's on their feet. So it really makes for a boring show, no matter how good the wrestling is. The one thing I did go back and watch, I have to take this back, was, of course, Big E winning the title. That crowd was legit psyched. That was awesome. And then you just went to this week, and then the highlights I watched on YouTube, I'm like, okay, same old again. With, like, lukewarm crowd with audio sweetener and stupid shit. Like Charlotte tearing up a doll. Cares.
But I actually was pretty cool with that segment for the most part. I mean, I'm just
saw like the last couple of seconds. I'm like, okay.
I'm okay with Charlotte not playing along with the dumb mind game type situation that Alexa Bliss has going on.
Okay, so that's what she's doing. I shouldn't even say anything about this week because I did not watch. So. I don't like when people do that, so...
I mean, again, not to rehash what Chris and I talked about, but I'm still not going to Extreme Rules, even though it's here in Columbus, because there's just nothing really interesting on that card.
You know what would have been interesting is the triple threat match they had on the end of Raw. Like, obviously, for Extreme Rules, it wouldn't have worked because it was too quick. But if they would have saved that match, you know, for, say, I don't know, Survivor Series or Rumble or, hell, build it up to WrestleMania. With a proper build, like that match this week with Lashley, Reigns, and Big E should have never happened on free TV. Absolutely not. Especially not promoted. That's awful. You got your two champions and the former champion in the same match? You out of your mind?
Yeah, well, that's one of those ones that there is so much TV at this point. In some ways, I don't know how you avoid things like that.
They used to avoid that stuff. Like, remember when they... All right, so...
But if you don't like the, I mean, I guess they did advertise it in advance, and I still haven't seen the match, but, you know, what, there was 1 week to hype up Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega? Did it make that much of a difference?
Before they announced the match, they were at like 15,000-17,000 tickets. They sold 3,000 extra tickets. So they went from 17,000 to 20,000. Now I don't know how much, you know, I don't know how much money that would be, but it's more.
Yeah.
So I do think it did make a difference in that case.
I guess hype wise, did it? I don't feel like it's been on, like, people haven't been salivating about it all week. You know, ready for it to happen. I guess it helped their bottom line, but I don't care about AEW's bottom line. so
well, we should just make sure they stay around. That sort of thing.
I don't think that does not seem like it's going to be a problem.
Hope not. I mean, it's they've got obviously a giant surge of momentum. So hopefully they can keep it up.
Well, and I do. I would think to me, like, you can tell the difference. Like, if you're the TV people, like, the things that you're talking about, how engaged the audience is, you've got to prefer that over watching the crowd reactions on Raw. Because you could even tell back in the day, and I guess it'll be interesting to see if that kind of develops, at Full Sail there, like, you definitely had more of the AEW fervency for the product. You might not have had it as much recently.
Definitely not.
Well, I guess we haven't had a crowd for like 18 months, and they've definitely had an even more limited crowd than AEW has had. But,
yeah.
You know, I guess it'll be interesting to see with the 2.0 here whether some of these guys grow into those types of roles. Because, you know, AEW and NXT, I mean, Rampage definitely seems like the place where they're bringing some of their younger talents to be on a national television platform. Did I say Rampage?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And it definitely seems like, and not that there aren't some old guys on NXT still, including the champion. But, you know, I do think that there's something that if you let them kind of grow in front of the TV and in front of the smaller crowds, it can help foster a superstar. But it takes a while.
Yeah. And NXT, I don't know. I was watching Tuesday, and my God, they threw so many new people at us.
Oh.
I mean, good Lord, man. There seemed to be a vignette, match, vignette, match, vignette, vignette, match, vignette. I'm like, whoa, slow down. I remember Josh Briggs was on there. Joe Gacy was on there doing that weird safe space thing. Rex Steiner, I'm not calling him Bomb Breaker. Who else am I missing?
Like, yeah, well, Breaker was on last week, so
right.
I'll give them that much at least. But yeah, they're throwing too many people. Like,
yeah.
It would work a little bit better if they more slowly introduce some of these new faces.
Yeah, I know that they're going, they want, essentially, they're doing a reboot of the product. I mean, I know Kyle O'Reilly was on there, like at the very end, right?
Yeah. And we still have, like, I mean, Pete Dunne is one of those few guys that I think he's still in the pretty young category, like 25 or something in that range. But he's definitely more of a veteran in this situation now than he used to be.
Yes, but, and I guess that, like, that's even like established acts are kind of taking a back seat, and like with El Fantasma.
Oh yeah, Santos Escobar.
Yeah. Like, I know they didn't wrestle, they were out there, but they still took a backseat to Elektra Lopez. Which, by the way, and I'm being dead serious, that's a good name. I was shocked. Like, wait a minute, that's actually, for a female, like, okay, I guess the females actually get off pretty easy. It's always the male wrestlers that have the bad names.
Yeah, there are less bad women's names than men's names. At least as of late.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Who was, like, so they changed, well, Andre Chase, okay. He was Harlem Bravado. That was never going to stick.
Oh.
Trying to think. Because Priscilla Kelly was never going to keep her name. And Gigi Dolan isn't that bad, actually. I can't remember the other girl's name in that group, though.
JC Jane.
Thank you. It sounds like Juicy Jane, which is,
Yeah, it's a little too porn starry for me, I suppose.
But no, all right. But what I was getting at was, like, even when they came out, like, Alexa Lopez was the feature. Like, and I know, like, they wanted to make sure she wrestles in this, but it was still like, oh, here's what you're used to, but we're gonna put this person in front instead. Like the Diamond Mine, I think, was really the only thing that kind of stuck to the norm. Only to get interrupted by some guy at the end, which I don't remember his name either.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty wild that Roderick Strong is one of the other guys. That guy is like he's going to live forever. He's going to wrestle forever.
They said he's been there since 2016. That's nuts. And then I remember he was feuding with Bobby Roode. Or Robert Roode, I guess.
Yeah, oh.
When he was the champion, I was like, oh my god, that was forever ago. So, but no, but like, there's so many people. Like the guy that was in the main event last week, was it Von Wagner?
Yes.
So they had him. And it's like, okay, cool. So you're beating up a tire. Like, alright, but it's something. And then I'm happy they're finally trying to explain Hideko Jiro? What the hell was his name?
Eichemann Jiro.
Thank you. I knew I was saying it right. Eichemann. Okay, so he's the king of, what was it, Style Strong instead of Strong Style. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of weird that the announcers never filled you in on why a guy is wearing a suit jacket to wrestle in.
Yeah.
Because that's one of those things that it just stands out so much. It's like, how do you just ignore this? Like, I'm sure that they noted it, but I never felt like we got an explanation, so that was kind of fun that we did finally get an explanation, because he has been around a little bit.
Right, I mean, he was in the breakout tournament, so, yeah. The one guy that was not on that surprised me, not that I remember his name, is the tall dude. He lost to, I keep wanting to call him Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo something.
Hayes, yeah.
But he wasn't on. But it's like, I kind of, like, I know it's kind of a stupid, goofy gimmick with the bar fighting guys, like Josh Briggs and the other guy.
Oh, if you want to talk about generic gimmicks, I'm like, I can't believe Tony D'Angelo is a fucking character.
Okay, is that the Goomba or Mafia, whatever?
Yeah, he's the Mook.
What in the fuck? Like, I saw it the other week, and I'm like, that's kind of dumb. And I saw it this week, and go, oh no, that's really dumb.
Like, yeah, I am offended for all Italians. Because it's just like, why is this guy doing an 80s gimmick? Like, it's so awkward right now. Like,
I mean, that's the thing. Like, even Andre Chase, he's a teacher? Like, oh no. Like, we're getting Dean Douglas again. except this guy actually, like, seems to be full of shit, so he gets mad. Just like Joe Gacy is the safe space wrestler, but you know he's going to snap eventually.
Oh.
So, Yeah, just like, what the fuck? What, I mean, it's not like these are good characters. I have no problem with characters because they used to have plenty of them.
Oh.
And these characters went to the main roster where they said, you guys need characters. What? Like, this is part of the problem I have with like this brand new NXT, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's supposed to be all these people, and we're gonna give them all these gimmicks. So we can take them to the main roster. Well, that's what you were given. I mean, you had the Wyatt family, Bobby Roode, who are glorious, who was the smug, like rich asshole. Didn't do anything with that. You had Tyler Breeze, the goofy model. Trying to think of some other ones. Sanity, whatever the hell they were supposed to be. At least they were characters. You know? Oh. They had something.
Yeah. Yeah, they're supposed to be kind of a chaos group, but I think their buzz got killed a little bit because I feel like Wootcham Hickett was almost in the same time period. They might have predated what was Mustafa Ali involved in eventually?
Oh,
not the Resistance.
Oh God! Wow, that went away. That went Retribution.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm trying to think of like, no, because Prophet, not Prophet of Doom. the Clutch song. AOP.
Oh.
They were just two giant sinister badasses. And apparently that wasn't good enough. So, okay. Like, everybody had... Like, the people that came up, for the most part, had already established gimmicks, and they could do this. And creative got it in WWE and fucked it up. There's no way around it. Like, they did help Drew McIntyre. I will say that. It took a little bit, but they helped him.
Yeah, Matt there's
never in NXT.
There's just been a handful of positive stories out of NXT recently.
Yeah, Keith Lee, you came up with the smug, athletic, big guy who's actually a babyface. You take him off TV, and now he's going to come back as Keith Bearcat Lee, and he's going to be a bad guy.
Okay. Like, I didn't even know what to think about that. Like, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, Bearcat?
I guess you don't want to call him Silverback. Because that was what Mark Henry was, right?
Yeah.
I'm being dead serious here. And you saw all the problems that came out of that. So, you know, it's just like, oh boy, man.
But I guess that's one of those situations where Vince McMahon almost always seems hell-bent on getting rid of as many names as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do something like that? Like, why?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the exact opposite of the ethos of what Vince normally does. And it's just like, and it's not going to be any better if he's just called Bearcat. That's going to be...
Christ, I never thought of that.
That no would way. Just be so awkward. And that's one where I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, Keith Lee is signing elsewhere after this contract is up.
Yeah, well, it seems like there might be a couple big names at the end of the year now. So, but no, try to stick on course for a change. The idea that NXT was not producing gimmicks or characters or any of that stuff to the point where they felt the need that, you know, NXT 2.0, it's got to change, is total garbage. It was, they just want a certain look of wrestler. I honestly think that's all it was. They want a certain kind of wrestler. I mean, to be dead honest, Bond Breaker, Rex Steiner, whatever you want to call him, that dude's going to be awesome.
That one is still, like, I didn't pay that much attention last week, but I really paid more attention to his match this week, and I'm like, why are you just not acknowledging the fact that he's Rick Steiner's son? Like, he wrestles like Rick Steiner.
Yes.
You have him looking like Rick Steiner. Why are you doing that? Like, you're doing everything to call back to Rick Steiner except using the name.
Yeah. Well, he looks like, he kind of looks like his dad. He's got the colorful singlet like his uncle.
Yeah.
And then he sounds like his uncle. That's a weird amalgamation of Rick and Scott Steiner. When he said, hey, how about you two bitches grow some balls and get in here? I was like, I shot like, what? Scott Steiner all of a sudden? And if he doesn't cut a math promo, then they're totally missing out.
It's hard to recreate that magic, but we can get there. I think we need to give him a little more time.
But man, just when that popped up, when he said that, I was like, wait. Well, I was surprised. Like, they allowed him to say that? Like, huh? But no, man. He just looked like, all right, that's got stud written on it. Vince has got to be going crazy. The thing is, he's not that tall. He wasn't much taller than Tommaso Ciampa was. So I was like, wait, what? So
That makes sense. Neither Rick nor Scott Steiner are terribly tall people.
No, Scott was just wide as hell, and Rick was just... I always thought Rick was the badass of the two. Like, Scott Steiner had to change his look and all that stuff, where Rick, even when he was, he's the older brother, I believe.
Yes.
Okay, but even when he was, you know, the dog-faced gremlin, when he was wearing, like, the Michigan, he was part of the varsity club and all that.
Yeah.
He still looked like he could kill you. Like, even though he was, like, the nice guy?
Yeah.
As a kid, you're like, that guy could mess your ass up, I think. So
yeah, I mean, he was definitely one of the earlier guys to just be like, you're just going, oh my god, he is a big dude. You know, there were still some, by virtue of Kevin Sullivan, some maybe not as ripped guys back in the day.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I definitely remember that. And they obviously, because he was in the varsity club, they sold his credentials, and it's just like, oh, he really could mess me up. Like, you know, I always thought that they did a good job with that.
Yeah, then his brother comes in doing all these psycho moves. So, and the first time we ever saw Frankenstein, I was like, what the hell was that? That guy that big? I know. It just... I'm looking at these other guys, though. Oh. I see nothing. Like, I don't see anything yet. And maybe that's not fair, but...
Yeah. No. I guess if you thought these guys were ready, why weren't more of them in the breakout tournament?
Yes.
And I'm trying to think... Because they did have, for the opening segment this week, Carmelo Hayes and I'm trying to think of what his the name of his new sidekick is.
I don't know. There's so many. Like, they need a checklist for the show.
Yeah. I mean, I do have the results pulled up, but I wasn't looking at them.
Yeah, there's just, they introduced far too many people far too quick. So, because, and really, I know that this NXT now is like the true developmental, right? It's going back to its roots of being developmental instead of its only. Okay, cool. It shouldn't be on USA TV. Now, I know, you know, well, for the money part, well, yeah, obviously, all right? But some of these guys are not meant for TV. They are not ready. Like, the promos aren't there. The look definitely isn't there. It's just like, oh boy, man. The guy from Singapore, he wasn't terrible.
But yeah, Dante Chen.
Yeah, are you like, oh, I gotta tune back in so I can see him again.
Yeah, not that I expected them to have him and Trey Baxter to have a 10-minute match, but a 1-minute match doesn't do anyone any good.
No, especially when Trey Baxter's been winning matches on 205 Live. So that was kind of weird, too.
I didn't know that part. I did hear some people online singing his praises. Someone, was he in the breakout tournament? Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely heard some people talking well about him there, but I didn't see much of his indie work. But I will at least believe those people that were quite enthusiastic about him as a character.
Yeah, and like the other thing is like, who was it? Who was it? Like, this woman walks in and kisses him. And I'm like, was that supposed to be a big deal? Like, who's she?
Yeah.
Like, why does she matter, you know?
I don't know. It is one of those wild things. You do not see a lot of, it's not even sex, obviously, but you don't see a lot of love in a WWE TV show that much.
No. You just don't.
Yeah, like, even with the whole index thing, there hasn't been a whole lot of, like, PDA or anything like that.
No, I mean, hell, even, like, a legit married couple, like Gargano and
Candice LeRae,
they didn't even show a whole lot of affection, you know?
Yeah.
That was very weird to me, but, hey, maybe they're trying something new, you know? So,
I mean, they do need to add a little bit of depth to the women's division if they're going to shuffle things up, too. I mean, they definitely have enough older women to kind of have, because it did seem like they had Cameron Grimes against Joe Gacy. Dante and Trey was one of the young matchups, but it did seem like they were trying to match up some of the more experienced talent with some of the less experienced talent on the show.
Yeah, but that's where I would question. Okay, are we going with the young guys, or are they just going to have them be fodder for the old guys right now? Like, Braun Breaker beating LA Knight was one thing, right?
Yeah.
But after that, okay, like, what's next? Like, I don't remember any of the new guys beating the veterans.
Uh-oh.
I'm trying to think if any of them did, but I don't believe they did.
No, because both of the younger guys that won beat other younger guys. Dante Chen won, and Orlando Jones won against, or Odyssey Jones.
Yeah, Odyssey Jones, that was goofy as hell, fighting two jobbers for no apparent reason. Like, we already know he's really big and really good, so.
Yeah, it wasn't really a necessity.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. It just, I didn't find myself invested the way it was, because the way I have been, I should say, because I don't know who the hell these people are. And it's kind of like, this is going to sound terrible, but it's kind of like watching Ring of Honor. There are so many people that you really haven't heard too much about. And then you go, well, these guys shouldn't be on TV. Like, like the Beer City Bruiser, like back when he showed up, like why is he on TV? You know, that sort of stuff. But
good gravy. I'm watching the opening fight scene for John Wick Parabellum.
Oh, it's pretty sweet.
Wow. That is something.
The opening one, that's in the store, right?
In the library.
Oh, yeah. He beats the hell out of him with a book.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, that's pretty wild, dude. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. The look that they have going on for this whole set of movies is impressive. I guess there just needs to be time for this 2.0. Like you said, like there are so many new people. I guess I'm more excited about that than, you know, some of the other stuff going on in the main roster.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. You know, but I guess I am kind of with you where no one did, at least for the, like, if they haven't said that they're kind of a breakout star, like, there weren't too many of the other new people that are just like, oh, yeah. I can see something going on with that guy.
Yeah, I guess it's like anything else WWE does. They don't have a lot of patience. So maybe that's why they're throwing all these people out the way they are. But I find it like, it almost felt intrusive when like Pete Dunne was out there. Like Tommaso, obviously he's a champion, so he's going to be out there. But it was almost like, oh, hey, that's right. Like, Raquel Gonzalez shows up. Oh, hey, I remember you. Okay, been a while. You know, it really hasn't been. It just feels like it's been forever because of all these new faces. Like, Io Shirai. Somehow Io Shirai is lost in the mix.
She's just been in a weird spot.
Yeah.
I do think that they've tried to do something, and I think I've been somewhat entertained with the what's her name trying to get to know Io, and Io just
exactly
just
exactly what I was gonna say. Good old what's her name? Zoe Stark.
Yeah, Zoe Stark. You know, I thought that those were kind of amusing, but it also still didn't tell me that much about Zoe Stark.
No, not really.
So, just because, like, at some point you need to develop a rapport from those two to help her out, and that just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and there's no chemistry between those two. It's like, didn't they go, like, to sushi or something? And I expected it to be, like, a vignette about it. They were supposed to go to lunch. And it was just something small like that. I was like, oh, okay, they're going to try and, you know, do something together. Like, try and build them up, right? And as far as I remember, nothing really came of it.
Well, it was just like, she acted like she'd never seen sushi before. Which... just seems awkward in this day and time.
Oh, yeah, yes. Especially with athletes. Athletes not knowing sushi, like, okay, you say so.
Yeah. That's what it is. Just like, really? Like, just another one of those things, kind of like the old gimmicks that we were talking about with the other guys. Just like, this is just such an old trope by someone that is, you know... probably honestly tried sushi in his 50s or something like that, but now in his 70s still can't understand why sushi's a thing or something.
Yeah exactly. So but I just like, even like what's her name, Frankie Monet, she showed up. I was like, oh yeah, you're still there too.
Oh, yeah, like she's one that it seemed like she was destined for something in NXT, and it has just been Derail City the
I'm with
whole
you.
time she's been there.
Like this whole weird Robert Stone brand stuff they got going on with her. Like, okay, this is kind of weird.
Yeah, I thought that she was gonna end up using him as her minion, but that hasn't really happened yet.
Yeah, he's just like a hanger-oner.
Yeah. And it would be more fun if he was more of a patsy than he is.
Yeah, he's just like a whipping dog. That's been a weird signing for me for NXT WWE anyways. Like they never got him off the ground.
Oh, and
You know?
honestly, even Malcolm Bivens has been kind of limited. Like, is it this week he finally got a promo? He's there helping to lead the Diamond Mine, but he still hasn't been that much of a leader. You know, like,
Right.
I guess I don't know why Roderick Strong is employing him or working with him still. Like,
Yeah.
even though he's the new champion, I don't know why.
Because they were trying to say, like, all right, we're going to take him, he finds a diamond in the rough and all this stuff, right? Well, I guess I'd have an easier time with that if, the other guy that he had didn't suddenly disappear. So.
Yeah, them subbing in and out people on their team did not help their gimmick at all.
No. No, it didn't. But I like the Creed brothers. Especially like the thicker one. Like I don't remember their names yet.
Oh, neither do I.
Yeah, the
Oh, hold
skinnier
on, it's
ones.
Julius and something else.
Oh, okay.
But I can't remember what the other one is.
Yeah.
But I don't. Yeah, they didn't have their match this week. That was last week.
No, they just came out with Roderick this week. So, but no, I dig them. I think that's actually got a little bit of a promise behind it. But you can tell they're green as hell. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that point has been well laid out this show.
Yeah, they can just keep that as the official NXT color, green.
I
Green and some, I almost said black ink, but that doesn't work. But just.
did kind of chuckle when I was looking at the new logo this week. I'm like, do you guys do all that work and yellow is still kind of the primary color in the NXT logo?
Yes, it is.
I'm like, okay. Whatever, guys.
Yep, that's certainly what it looks like. So, hey, whatever, yeah, it's just whatever, really. So, I'm gonna keep watching, but it just doesn't feel like a show that should be on network TV carrying a WWE brand. It should be exactly what it's supposed to be. Be something that people want to watch on the network, and then go from there. But I mean, obviously, you're getting money to put it on TV. Why the hell would you get rid of it? So,
Oh yeah, they are 100% not getting rid of it.
Well, yeah. Maybe someday I'll start watching Raw regularly again. But I will tell you this: with football being on and the Lions looking actually competent for a half. I was like, I told Elise, I'm like, so everyone was bitching how bad they looked last week and how bad they played and this, but they look like a halfway competent team. Anyway,
Yeah, I mean, Monday night is still the easiest night to skip. You know, I still think SmackDown's pretty good fun for the most part, and I'm not typically doing a whole lot on Friday evenings, so that kind of helps too.
That's true.
Because yeah, I usually watch the last hour of SmackDown and then the hour of Rampage because the fuck else am I gonna do?
I was out of town, so I did not see Rampage. So I was honestly totally confused why they were talking about Fuego del Sol betting this car. So then I was like, oh, okay, he got a new car, and now he lost it again. Okay.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a new car. I believe it was a used car.
Well, no, a previously owned car. But,
Previously owned car.
yes. So, yeah, so, yeah, I'll be back on a regular schedule for this week, and then starting next week, no, not at all. So, we'll see how that goes.
Doke, Beltane beer on my end. Saucy Brew Works, Mr. Stone's Double Oat Stout. Just a nice traditional stout, and I like it. Not a whole lot to say as far as the description goes. If you don't like stouts, don't drink it. They're out of Cleveland, so I believe their distribution area is slightly larger than Ohio. So if you get a chance, give it a try if you like the dark beers. Anything drinking on that side?
Not drinking, but I will say, if you're back in the Greenville, South Carolina area, you have a new brewery that's pretty good for a new brewery. It's called Double Stamp. It's based off of you can't triple stamp a double stamp from Dumb and Dumber. So I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, they got a pretty sweet outdoor area, man. They're right next to this like rope climbing place,
Oh.
like a rope course place.
Uh-huh.
Which, of course, sounds like an idiotic thing to do when you've been drinking, but, you know, what happens? So, but, no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. That's about it. So, it's my recommendation.
Cool. At DeFrango 11, at Granny Maze, Brandon's at Stunt Granny, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, download us on any purveyors, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Have a good night, grandkids.
Say it again.